KSL at Night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Rusty Cannon. I'm here with our co-host, Greg Skordas. And this is a treat for me. Not only one segment, but two segments with someone that I have wanted to meet, Amy Donaldson, ever since I heard The Letter. My wife, Lisa, actually turned me on to that and listened intently to the entire series. Tears, you know, lots of listening. It was phenomenal. And now I believe you're going to be telling us that there is something more coming.
Yeah, there's season two. It actually dropped the first episode April 16th. I'm trying to remember what day it is and what hour we're at.
That was yesterday.
It's been a little busy. So yeah, episode one drops. And if you subscribe on Apple, you can get a bonus content too. That's a little bit extra. But you'll recognize this name, Greg, a gentleman named John T. Nelson. Reached out to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The former Commissioner of Public Safety. I worked with him at the district attorney's office back in the day.
He was the director of the Utah Sentencing Commission when I was covering that 20 plus years ago. And he just emailed me after listening to season one and said, hey, I know a similar story. Well, you know, a couple of emails and a phone conversation, we find out that there's actually a connection. I wasn't planning on doing a season two. There's only one letter. As you know from listening, it's a super unique story, right? You've been in the criminal justice system.
Right.
These, you know, reconciliation between a murder victim and a murderer is definitely not a common thing, right?
Correct.
So I was moving on. I was actually working on a soccer podcast, which I'm still hoping to finish. And then we found out about this, and I just through a series of conversations, there is a connection to season one. There is a letter, not the same. Instead of being written by the killer, it's written by the family, one member of the family to the killer. It's Ed's case, my husband.
Right.
I was like, hey, guess what? I found out this case. And he's like, I know that case.
Oh, I know that case. Yep.
This has probably happened to you before.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Greg knows what I'm talking about because, you know, as a lawyer, you work here long enough that you're going to run into somebody you once represented or knew or something. So yeah, it's been crazy. I had half the time to put this together. It's still told in narrative style. So eight episodes and yeah.
So first episode out this week. Well, obviously it's the 17th. So out yesterday, and what, a new episode every week?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. And this first episode, you're just going to get to know one of the victims, a gentleman named Jordan Rasmussen, a 32-year-old accountant, was killed outside of Lug Haven.
How long ago?
1982.
Oh, so tell us this story a little bit. You know, I'll just digress for just a second, Rusty. My son is a doctor in California, and he calls me a year or so ago and said, hey, Amy Donaldson is doing this really interesting podcast. I mean, he's in California talking about the letter and just saying,
I'm so
glad. You got to listen to this. This thing is great. So tell us about just the background story, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil your podcast, but
I won't. Yeah,
I don't know that I remember it.
Yeah, 1982.
The Log Havens seems to ring a bell.
March 5th, 1982, a manager for the restaurant calls and says, I came to work today and found two dead bodies in a van outside the restaurant. And police show up and start investigating. And yeah, the men did not know each other. Jordan Rasmussen was supposed to have a meeting at the restaurant that morning, but Buddy Booth, 24-year-old delivery driver, was just there to pick up laundry, a laundry truck driver.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Absolutely tragic story. So, yeah, and so what I do is try to let you get to know these people, but let you get to know their families as well, and then you're going to get to know the gentleman who confessed to the killing. Who was represented by a guy named Bob Van Sciver, which you'll remember.
Oh, yeah.
Bob is a character. I try to incorporate that in the podcast. Met Bob.
Oh, no, he was the greatest.
So I only have I had to learn to love Bob through stories.
Right.
Which there are many.
Ed worked with him.
He was his mentor. Yep. And in fact, this case was a capital murder case. TJ Sackalos, do you remember TJ?
Ty, yep.
He was the
prosecutor.
And Creighton Horton were the prosecutors. Most of the officers who worked this case are no longer with us. I had to rely on TJ and Creighton.
Some old people, right?
Old times, yeah. But you know, Mike Wilkinson was the first on the scene. You remember him from Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office? Did search and rescue after that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the thing that's really compelling about the new season. If you listen to the first season, it was really about how do you rebuild your life after something bad happens to you, right? Like we all
from
read
the victim's family's from the perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somewhat I feel like we tried to, as best we could, talk about what happens when you do a terrible thing, right? Like, how do you, so George wrote me letters, but we never could do an interview with him. But George is the gentleman who was who pled guilty in that case.
The killer.
But yeah. But so I thought, well, like, do we have more to say about this? Like, is this different? Because I just want to just tell another story about, you know, especially because it was really heavy. If you've listened to it, it's, you said crying.
Yes.
It's, you know, grief is something we don't discuss a lot in our, in we avoid it. You know, I tell people all the time, like, normal people don't have the conversations that I've been having for the last year and a half. It's a lot of really, there's a lot of benefit to it, though. We all came out of COVID, I think, disconnected and struggling with different things, and mental health problems are off the charts. And I think one of the things that I was really attracted to was it was an opportunity to really say, you know, when someone's hurting or when a bad thing's happened, don't go away. Don't avoid it. Like, wade right in there, right? What you need is people. You don't need to be isolated. And so it, but also once we got into it, I was interested in this idea of old forgiveness. So if these people forgave, which I didn't even know if all of them did, right? I knew one person did, but I didn't know who else did. But is that, you can inherit trauma. Can you inherit forgiveness? And that was the initial question I went in with. But really what it became was, like, who deserves forgiveness? Like, if, do you have to do something? Is it something you have to earn? Does remorse have to be a factor? And why do people forgive if it's not? I mean, just got way, way more complicated. And what I kind of, it boiled down to me, for me, was, you know, if it's not available to the worst people in the worst situations, like, is it really available to anyone? Like, does forgiveness mean what we think it does?
So, Amy, when you're talking about a 42-year-old homicide, mm-hmm. but it's a double homicide, mm-hmm. I, just knowing what I know about the board, he's probably still in prison, the murderer.
Well, remember, the board has changed. It changed in the 90s.
Right.
But we do interview Mike Sibbett.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, who was the chairman?
All these names,
I know.
Back
Greg
in
and
the
I are
day.
Having, we're having
right.
old home
old
week.
Old home week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. I mean, Ken Schulson, you remember Ken mm-hmm. Schulson was yep. the warden out of the prison. He's best friends with one of the murder victims. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, I loved listening to the Pearl tapes, but yeah, I think you're not wrong about the prison. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, okay.
That's part of the story.
You've got to stay tuned.
There you go.
But I think that's also a factor for me, is like, what incentive do you have to be a good person if there's no hope? Like, if you're just like, what is hope? What, how do you find hope in a situation like that? And if you do something like kill two people, is there any way back for you? Like, yeah. why? Like, is there a way to make up for that? Like, can you? What good does it do to try to reform yourself if that's what you've done?
And did you involve yourself with both victims' families?
Yes, I did.
You were able to find them. You were
yep.
able to get people to.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, this was a lot harder, a lot more complicated.
And did you get the whole array, Amy, of forgiveness to we'll never forget? I mean, that's a long time. That's
yeah,
a long
it
time.
It is. And I think we got, I mean, TJ still believes that, you know, the word he uses is chameleon. He's like, yeah, he's really good at, and you know, it is complicated. It is not yeah. a straight line. And I think that, I think that's part of the process of this podcast is how, I need you to understand these people. I need you to get inside their shoes and walk with them. And everyone won't be willing to do that. And I understand that. But I hope some people will, because I think it will give you insight into your own life and the struggles you have with conflict and forgiveness.
How do our listeners find it?
Any podcast app that you love, Spotify, Apple, you can go to theletterpodcast.com, read stories. I'm writing stories for both radio and KSL.com. And just reach out to us and listen and rate and review us, because that's how people find us.
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait. We will definitely do that. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy. And we are here on KSL Tonight, and we will be right back.